Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
And we, of course, are keeping a very, very close eye as to what is happening in the Ukrainian area. Tembisa Fikuda is a political analyst at Africa Asia Dialogue. We've spoken to him many times before, and we continue to do so to get the latest updates. Good morning. Thanks for joining us so early this morning. How are you doing?
Thank you.
What is the
latest? All is good. Thank you.
Good to hear. What is the latest information coming out of Ukraine?
Well, we know that we have that 30-mile-long convoy heading towards Kyiv, and that's a worrying factor because apparently the plan is to suffocate the people of Kyiv and force them to surrender. So it was identified through satellite yesterday. It's a 30-mile-long convoy, so it's an all-out war. So that's where we're at the moment. Yesterday, Vladimir Zelensky addressed the European Parliament. He got a standing ovation, whilst at the same time, when the Foreign Affairs Minister of Russia, Lavrov, tried to speak to the United Nations, he experienced a walkout of all members who were sitting in that human rights agency that he was trying to address. So the situation is still the same, but I've just watched Joe Biden State of the Nation address.
Yes, so tell me what you thought about that, because it bothered me that he said Kyiv is surrounded and the Iranians will never surrender. But aside from that, was there substance to it?
I think there was substance to it. And of course, you won't say that Americans are already there. We all know that clandestinely, all forces from NATO are there and the Americans are there. But of course, they're not. They don't have soldiers or boots on the ground, but they are working very closely with the Ukrainians in terms of ensuring that they push back the advances of Russia. But they will never say openly that they're there because, one, Ukraine is not a member of the European Union, and also Ukraine has not yet joined NATO. So they will have to do whatever they're doing clandestinely, and we know that they continue doing that.
Right. What is the likelihood? I mean, we're talking about nuclear testing. We've seen Putin referring to his nuclear being ready, defensively at least, nuclear-wise. Is this a bluff? Is this a Putin ramping things up? What do you think?
Well, we can't trust the man anymore. I mean, he kept on saying that before he went into Ukraine that he was just having a military drill in his own territory and he was not intending to go in and invade Ukraine, and did exactly the opposite. So basically lied to the entire world. And when he then let the nuclear high alert in Russia on Sunday, we all got concerned. But I doubt if he'll do it this time around. I mean, these are, for me personally, kicks of a desperate dictator. Because, you know, from whatever way you look at it, it's actually the beginning of the end for Vladimir Putin. Yes, he'll go in.
One way or another, absolutely, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he'll go in into Ukraine, but what do you do afterwards? You can't sustain it. Number one is they're going to suffocate him financially. Those soldiers will have to be paid and continually motivated to do the work that they're doing. They'll have to be fed. It's thousands of them. And if you are to hold power and control in Ukraine, you need to have a sizable number of soldiers permanently stationed in there. There's no money at the moment. The elite are going to start revolting against him because all of them became poor overnight, and they're going to start fighting against him. And I'm also of the view that the top brass in the military are definitely having discussions on the sidelines with their counterparts in NATO and in the United States to avert this madman from going on triggering a nuclear war. So you do have those kind of responsible military, and that's what The Economist was also arguing in the magazine, that it's likely now that there are negotiations on the sidelines between the responsible military top brass, both at NATO, United States, and in Russia, to try and stop Putin. You are likely to see the emergence of the rise of protests in Moscow and outside Moscow as we move along, because the economic conditions are going to bite in the very, very near future. The ruble has almost crumbled. The stocks have gone down over 90%, something that has never been heard of. So the situation is going to bite them financially, no doubt about that. And when the financial situation start biting, particularly the elite, you're going to start seeing people coming in, and you're going to start seeing defections, by the way, from the military, because people have to save their skin. So I think this is the beginning of the end, and it's going to be very difficult for him to escape. He underestimated the Ukrainian, he underestimated the resolve of the people of the world, particularly Europeans, when it in terms of supporting the Ukrainian people. He underestimated the hackers, by the way, because it's not only the hackers from Ukraine. Now, the world hacking community has joined forces in trying to do, in their attempt to bring down Putin. So it's a very interesting time we're living in. And I think it's a matter of time that he actually disappears from the presidency.
What are the chances? I mean, I know we spoke about, and you've just mentioned, the protests within Russia, and we certainly started seeing more of that than we had ever seen before. But I was thinking a little bit earlier, and I wanted to ask you this question. What about foreign diplomats, Russian foreign diplomats? Now, they're based throughout the world. They are not just exposed to Russian media. Obviously, they toe the party line, as they've been taught to do. But they're also seeing very much another side of this conflict from without, outside of Russia. Do you think that there's any chance of internal political pressure on Putin to change this trajectory?
I doubt if they'll go against Putin at this point in time, because it's apparent that he's lost his mind. So I'm not sure whether a junior diplomat from an office in London will want to take on Putin at this moment. But chances are most of them are not going to, even though, of course, you know that majority of them have been expelled, particularly in Europe and in the United States. But I doubt if they'll go back to Russia. They might just begin to negotiate with those governments to remain in the countries. And by the way, they become then very important resources, particularly for agencies and secret agencies in various countries. So most of them will not go back to Russia. They might just see themselves becoming useful in terms of fighting what I think many will call a dictator, because they're young, by the way, by and large, most of them. And I doubt if they want to go back to Russia. And besides, the Russian airlines are not flying, so it's good excuse and pretext to remain wherever they are. So you're going to have a lot of ambassadors, by the way, coming up and issuing different statements about Putin, because the writings are on the wall. There's no way that he's going to survive the pressure that has been exerted on him by the world in general. So he's going to, those that are smart enough and understand politics and have seen how these kind of powerful individuals collapse in the past will do the right thing. And I'm sure that most of them will defect and start going on the other side and siding the Ukrainians, as we've currently seen with the protests in Russia. I mean, thousands of Russians are protesting Putin. And I think as the economic situation further deteriorates, you're going to see more and more people on the streets protesting.
As it is around the world. Have we seen any signs of the South African government maybe considering standing on the wrong side, right side of history, or are we still firmly in Russia's camp?
Well, the mission in Crimea yesterday announced that the diplomats were leaving Kyiv back into South Africa. So far, that's what we've heard. And the only thing that we've had the ANC youth league embarrassingly issuing stupid statements. We haven't had anything different from what Naledi Pandor has said in the past in terms of sitting on the fence in this regard. President Cyril Ramaphosa has not said much, but admitted that he has made a call to NATO, and he's speaking to certain people. So South Africa is feeling, at the moment, I don't think they're really interested in taking a position in this regard. They don't see themselves as part of the world. unfortunately. And this kind of foreign maneuverings and foreign policy decisions, they take them and they take it them easy because they're not going to be impacted. And South Africa is 17,000 kilometers away from Moscow. And they feel that even if there was going to be a nuclear war, the longest range missile, which is owned by North Korea, is at least like 4,700 to 5,700 kilometers in terms of capability. And they feel that we're much more safer. a nuclear rocket won't reach us because it's just too far away. But I think economically, we need to wake up to a reality that we need to be seen to be standing on the right side of history. But besides, we have a position in the African continent, and that is dwindling because of these missteps and miscalculations we continue to take in terms of foreign policy positions that impact Africa.
Tembisa Fikuda, political analyst at Africa Asia Dialogue, speaking to us once again, bringing us insight into the conflict as well as to South Africa's role. It's about to go 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.